Send the light. Number 424, if you want to follow along in your hymn book.
The call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore.
Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Title of the message this morning is Remember, Remember. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Stands forever on your word, and we're thankful that we can have a confidence as we speak from it, that knowing that these are your words and that we can trust them. And there's many things in this life that are very deceitful and wicked, and they want to lead us astray. And we're thankful that we can always come back to your word. I pray now for Pastor, just give him the strength, the energy, the endurance that he needs to be able to help us to see the wonderful things from your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Well, these two funerals this week have gotten our attention as we once again pray for the Johnson family in this time of sorrow of Mrs. Johnson, and for the Snyder family in the passing of Todd Snyder. There's been a lot of talk about memories, a lot of talk about remembering things, what these dear ones have meant to our lives. And so as we were talking at Mrs. Johnson's funeral, different ones, and the different precious memories that they had, and it was interesting to hear the letters as well from the granddaughters, and the granddaughters kind of hit on something that evidently was the highlight of their lives, going on that trip to Arizona there and driving back. And I think about the grandparents meeting them at the airport and taking them back and then driving them back. And that was obvious, a very special memory in the lives of the girls there. And then I remembered some things about Todd Snyder, and just been probably a couple months ago, and he became so sick, and just 53 years old, I believe, went to be with the Lord. And it made me think of his younger brother Daniel. They burned wood, and in a storm, a storm had broken off a top of a tree, but it had never fallen down. Well, they were out in the woods cutting, and, you know, the ground shakes when trees fall. And Daniel was out there and happened to be in a certain spot when something shook that part of the tree loose, and it came crashing down and killed Daniel Snyder just as a young man. I don't know, Brother Jim, was he a teenager? 12 years old, not quite a teenager. I remember it was a Good Friday when the news came to us. We were ready to head to Grand Rapids to hand out gospel tracts that day that that Daniel Snyder died. And so as we think about things, and we had just seen Todd Snyder in Kalamazoo not too many months ago and had talked to him, but now at 53 years of age, he is gone. And so as we think about life and memory, I'd like us to think about that this morning. Number one, remember thy Creator. Remember thy Creator. Once again, in verse 1, remember now thy Creator when? In the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So what is it talking about as we grow older? Why would it be that we would not have as much pleasure in these days? Well, verse 2, it says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not what? Darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Well, as we age, many times, many people get cataracts, and cataracts dim the eyes. In the scriptures, there are several people mentioned that ended up going blind or their eyes were dim, and probably no doubt from cataracts. Well, that's the idea there in verse 2. That's what happens many times. In verse 3, it goes on, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. So verse 3 talks about our strength. It wanes. Many things that we could used to do easily may cause us to tremble now just to try to lift those things. It refers to the grinders ceasing because they are few. Well, that's our teeth. As the years go on, and we thank the Lord for giving, I mentioned already in Sunday school, a matter of dentists and how they can spare many of our teeth that years ago they would have had to just pull. Verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Well, what is this verse talking about? It says the doors shall be shut in the streets. Well, as people age, for some reason, they can't always take the noise and commotion as when we were younger. And so the children would be playing in the streets, and I don't mean that in a bad sense, you know, like we don't let our children play out in the middle of the road, but this is talking about a smaller village type scenario where children would be playing together, playing in the streets, the sidewalks, the side of the road. So for older people sometimes that maybe just can't take all that commotion, and they would shut the door to shut out. But then it goes on to say, when the sound of the grinding is low, so once again referring to our hearing, it tends to decrease as well. And then it says, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. As we age, oftentimes it's just hard to sleep a long time. And so many times as we age, might go to bed, but up at the voice of the bird, so up early, because they just can't sleep. And then once again, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Once again, referring to our hearing, it often degrades some. In verse 5, it says, also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. So this has to do with our balance. The older we get, our balance isn't as good. I was tested by that a week ago Saturday when I slipped and fell on the ice. I couldn't move fast enough to catch myself, and I was flat on the ice. So as we age, we tend to maybe not enjoy heights as much because our balance isn't quite what it used to be. It goes on and says, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So it goes back to verse 1, remembering our Creator, because all people will stand before the Creator one day. All people. If you notice in Revelation chapter 20, we don't want to be at this appearing. Revelation chapter 20 is the appearing where those who have not trusted Jesus Christ will appear. In verse 12, actually verse 11, Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now God has everything we've ever done written in his books. It's not on his computer. It's in his books. And I know many times people think computers are better than books. And I understand we can access a lot through computers. But we've also learned that through shortage of computer chips, there's been a lot less new cars for sale for a couple years now. But God has everything written down. You know, sometimes people say, if there's really a God, how can he let all these bad things happen? Well, God created everything very good. And the reason bad things happen is because sin entered into the world. Notice with me, hold your place here in Romans 5. Romans 5. Let's not blame bad things on God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans 5, 12. The Bible says, wherefore, as by who? One man, sin, entered into the world. And what? Death by sin. Do you realize that when God created Adam and Eve, it was not his plan for Adam and Eve to die? The reason we have death in the world is because sin entered into the world. And it says, "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So let's not get mad at God because these bad things happen. Let's draw nigh to him because it's the reason sin. So let's go back to Revelation 20. So all these books are open. So back to the point. Sometimes people say, well, that guy got away with murder. And literally, many people do get away with murder as far as our justice system. But no one is getting away with anything in light of eternity, because all of mankind are going to answer before God. He has everything written in his books. So they are judged according to these things. Verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." You know, for many years, they did not know exactly where the Titanic went down, but they finally found it and sent cameras down there and so on. Whether it's in the Titanic or every other ship or boat that has gone down, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works." People say, well, I don't understand that, because if there's fire in hell, how can one person have more judgment than another? Well, it's very easy to figure that one out. You light a match or light a candle. Are you going to solder a pipe with a candle flame? No, it's not hot enough. But if you get some propane and add to it, yes, you can solder a pipe. But can you cut a steel beam in two with a propane torch? No. You need some acetylene and adding some oxygen to it. Now you can cut an iron beam in two. There's all degrees of heat, all degrees. So God tells us here, no one is getting away with anything. Oh, yes, they may think that on this earth, but not when they stand before God. They are going to get exactly what they deserve. Verse 14 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Well, okay, so how can we get our names written in the book of life? How can we be saved? That's the question. Well, let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. So we want our names in the book of life, in God's book of life. And to do that, we need to remember our Creator. In Luke 23 and verse 42. Luke 23, 42. "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." So we're dealing here with three people on crosses. We've got one thief on one cross. We have Jesus in the middle. We have another thief on the other cross. And a parallel passage, at one point, both of these thieves are scorning at Jesus. They're ridiculing him. They're mocking him. But one of these gets to thinking about it. Have you ever been in a situation where someone's being bullied or picked on? Have you ever been in a situation like where maybe you started out in the crowd that was kind of mocking someone or bullying them, but then you saw kind of what was happening and how the person being bullied felt or the person being mocked felt. And so then you said, wait a minute, you know, don't pick on him. Well, this one thief realized the situation and saw how Jesus was not responding back angrily. And God touched the heart of this one. And if you notice here, so in Luke 23:42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, let's see what led to this. In verse 39, back up to verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. So he was mocking Jesus. Verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou what?
Fear God,
seeing thou art in the same condemnation. So the first thing we see this man have is the fear of God. What does that mean? Years ago, we were out witnessing in a home, and this lady was talking to us, friendly. And then I happened to say this phrase, our nation doesn't seem to have the fear of God like it should. And that immediately offended her. So I'm not sure what she was thinking of. What does the fear of God mean? Does it mean that we walk around, you know, cowering in fear, afraid that God's going to strike us dead with lightning or something? That's not what the fear of God means. If you hold your place, would you turn to me to Proverbs 9? Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Proverbs 9:10. Now, when you were little, did you fear your parents? Well, what do you mean by that? Were you afraid your parents were going to kill you? No. But no, we're talking about a healthy fear or respect. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So this type of fear, this type of reverence, you know, we need this in every area of our lives. The Bible tells us to honor our parents. If we don't honor our parents, our lives are not going to go well. So we're to honor our parents. We're to fear them. And if we don't fear them, we'll not fear God. If we don't fear and honor our parents, we will not fear and honor the boss at work. We will not fear and honor the teacher at school. It just filters down. There's no respect. We will not then honor and respect and fear the police officer. You can see we're in a big mess because of this. Notice in chapter 8, Proverbs 8:13. So what is the fear of God? It is not walking around afraid he's going to kill us at any second. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to what? To hate evil. This is what the fear of the Lord is, to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, walking around thinking like we're better than someone else. That is sin. And the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Someone that always has something bad to say back. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's to hate pride. It's to hate arrogancy. It's to hate the evil way. It's to hate the froward mouth. So the fear of the Lord is to hate those bad things. Okay, so let's go back then to Luke 23. So this dying, repentant thief, he's talking to the other one, and he's saying in verse 40, the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? So now we know what it means to fear God. We revere him, we reverence him, we respect him, and we hate evil. We hate pride. We hate arrogancy. We hate that mouth that says those bad things. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Verse 41, and we indeed what? Justly. So this thief is confessing, and he's saying to the other thief, he's saying, listen, don't you fear God? Don't you understand that we are also dying? You're mocking Jesus dying on the cross, but don't you understand that we are dying as well, and we indeed justly? He goes on to say, verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of what?
Our deeds.
Our sins. Remember what we saw in Sunday school? The wages of sin is what? death. And that's what the two thieves were experiencing, death, because of their sin. So he says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man, now he's referring to Jesus, this man hath done what?
Nothing amiss.
We just saw in Sunday school in John chapter 18, Pilate, the judge, said about Jesus, three times he declared him without sin. I find in him no sin at all. This dying, repentant thief acknowledges that. He says, but this man, Jesus, hath done nothing amiss. You know, there's so many people in our day and age that are confused about that because there are these people that do not fear God, and they're writing books and they're making movies portraying Jesus to be an immoral sinner. And of course, that is blasphemy. Jesus never sinned. We read it this morning in Sunday school. The judge at his trial three times declared him innocent. And so we read on. So in verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord. You know what Lord means? It means master. So this dying thief looks at Jesus and says, Lord, master. What does that mean? You know, when we get saved, it does not mean that we just say some words that someone else tells us to say and then we're saved. You know, when we get saved, it's that heart desire, like this thief. Lord, you ask for people who know they're sinners, my hand is up. I'm a sinner. Lord, you ask, who's tired of their sin? Lord, my hand is up. My sin has not satisfied. This man, he says to him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So he's saying, Lord, this other thief is mocking you and scoffing at you, but Lord, I'm declaring you are my master. You are my Lord, my Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You have to remember that both thieves were nailed to crosses dying. Jesus is nailed to a cross dying. And this thief is saying to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. A dead man cannot be a king and reign. So what is the showing of this repentant thief? It's showing that in his heart, he believes that Jesus is going to rise from the grave. And indeed, he did. If you'd hold your place here, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You notice how the resurrection is always in the gospel presentation. Christ died for our sins, but is his body still there? No. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the who?
Lord Jesus.
Notice that word Lord is there again. Lord means master. Jesus means Savior. So it's that desire, Lord, I cannot clean up myself, but Lord, I desire you to cleanse me. Have you ever been so weak and sick that you couldn't take care of yourself? Yeah, well, that's us as sinners. We can't clean up ourselves. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe, where? In thine heart that God hath what? Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? See, what is so important about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, we touched on it once again in Sunday school, but the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. So, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. So the penalty, the wage of our sin was death. Jesus paid the penalty. But because he is righteous without sin, his blood could pay for our sins. That's why he pardoned us on the cross. He was the substitution for us, dying for our sin. And so he died for our sin, but okay, the wages of sin is death, but wait a minute. If the payment of sin, the wages of sin is death, and if Jesus was sinless, then what was it that could not hold him down? Death. Death could not hold him down because he paid the wage. He paid the price. So that's why Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because it's the resurrection that proves his blood was enough to wash away our sin. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So let's go back to Luke 23. So he's saying in verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So this thief has confessed he's a sinner. He's confessed that Jesus is without sin. He's confessed that he believes Jesus is going to rise again from the dead because he's saying, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So what's the answer? Verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, what? Today shalt thou be with me where?
In paradise.
In paradise. When? Today. Today. So when we receive Christ as our Savior, the moment we die, we are with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. The Bible says we are what? Confident, I say, and what? Willing rather to be what? Absent from the body. What happens when we have received Christ as our Savior? What happens when we are absent from this body? It tells us here. It says we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be what?
Present
with the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful assurance. When our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, we know now there's no way to pay for our sins but death. And Jesus paid that price because he was sinless. Death could not hold him. He rose from the grave. And today he's waiting for all who desire to be cleansed from their sin. He's just waiting for a sinner to open the door. Let's look at Revelation 3, verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and what? Open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So the Lord is knocking. When I was 6 years old, the Lord was knocking on my heart's door. Our pastor was preaching on the Lord Jesus is coming again. And Sunday night after Sunday night, I sat there and I would raise my hand that I knew I needed to be saved and I wanted to be saved, but I was afraid to go forward in that church service. But one Sunday night after church and home, and I'll still remember that, laying on my bed, looking up at the ceiling, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me and forgive my sins. And he did that. As a six-year-old boy, he saved me. And he will save anyone who will come to him with that same desire. Lord, cleanse me from my sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can have a place reserved in heaven through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed to pay for our sin. Father, I pray if there should be any here today who have never yet received you, have never yet placed their faith and trust in you, and ask you to save them, I pray today they would make that decision. And then help them, Lord, after making that decision, to have a desire to love you and serve you, to follow you in baptism, as we saw, Lord, earlier. That's the next command after we get saved, is to follow you in baptism, picturing the new life that you have given us and our desire to love you and serve you. And I pray that would be the desire of each of us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.